This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit flyingporkapparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
And the year is 1993.
You forgot what the year was, didn't you?
I did. I had to look. So, yeah, if you've been a listener for a while, you know what's about to happen. We have chosen a year. And if you're new, well, I'm about to explain it.
Well, that's it for the show. See you later.
we've chosen a year, and we are going to talk about our 9 favorite movies from that year.
5.
Okay, so I picked 9.
So delete 4 of them.
I can't. They're all my babies.
Whatever.
They're like my children's. Yeah, it's like Sophie's choice.
I remember when we had this discussion, I told you 5, and every time that we've done an episode, I've told you 5.
And I usually do 7.
So the next one, I'm going to pick like 25 movies.
Sweet.
I'm going to blow you out of the water.
Let's pick a good year.
Yeah, well.
All right. So 1993 was a more interesting year in film than I remembered. Top grossing films of the year: Jurassic Park, Mrs. Doubtfire, The Fugitive, Schindler's List, and The Firm.
Yeah.
So, that's a pretty good murderer's row of
films.
You
forgot that, like, all those movies came out in 1993?
I forgot they were 1993. I thought The Firm was later. I thought Schindler's List was like 91. I thought Jurassic Park was earlier. But anyway. So here's some just kind of events. So Jurassic Park at the time broke the box office record, becoming the highest grossing film ever made.
Yeah.
Which is, it made almost $1 billion in its theatrical run. Let's see. The family romance Sleeping in Seattle revives the genre. The courtship of Eddie's father, with an extensive soundtrack of oldies movies. On January 19th, production began for Toy Story, all the way back in 93. Brandon Lee was killed on the set of The Crow. Lisa Bonet filed for a divorce from Lenny Kravitz. Kim Basinger did the whole bankruptcy thing. That was the whole, like, ordeal back then.
Is this
then.
A movie review or an entertainment review?
All? Both?
Okay.
None?
So... I don't care about bankruptcies or anything like that. Celebrities do it all the time.
So, Super Mario Brothers.
It's called solvency.
Super Mario Brothers opened in 1993, making it the first video game film released. It only ended up grossing $20 million.
Was it the first video game?
That's what they're saying.
Okay.
The Fugitive was released. And
you just
it received.
Said that before.
Yeah, but it received 7 Oscar nominations, including 1 win. River Phoenix overdosed. During the filming of Dark Blood outside of the Viper Room. And Fellini, the director Fellini, died
okay.
at the age of 73.
I was going to say he was old at the time.
Yeah. So Oscars, Best Film, Schindler's List. Best Director, Steven Spielberg for Schindler's List. Best Actor, Tom Hanks in Philadelphia. Best Actress, Holly Hunter in The Piano. Best Supporting Actor, Tommy Lee Jones for The Fugitive. Best Supporting
Guess
Actress.
What? He didn't care.
He didn't care. Winona Ryder won for Age of Innocence. Totally forgot she'd won an Oscar.
What, for Best Supporting?
For Best Supporting for the Age of Innocence.
Okay.
Let's see. Best Adapted Screenplay was Steve Zaillian for Schindler's List. Best Original was Jane Campion for The Piano. And John Williams was the best score for Schindler's List.
Didn't Anna Paquin win a...
Not for...
That year?
No, she was nominated for The Piano as
oh,
well.
Nominated.
But
okay.
She was supporting. So, all right. So that was kind of the entertainment movie industry a little bit in 1993. All right. Why don't you go first?
You got 9. You go first. Go ahead.
Okay. So my... First one.
Why don't you take the first 2.
Take the first 2. All right, hold on.
Can't follow the rules.
Oh, of course I can't follow the rules. Anyway, my first one is Falling Down, directed by Joel Schumacher, starring Michael Douglas. Do you remember that one?
Schumacher.
Sorry.
I remember that one.
So this was a pretty formative movie for me and my friends. We probably saw this 3 or 4 times in the theater.
Okay.
Because it was just so crazy. I remember Robert Duvall. You know, this was one of those, the police officer is, you know, close to retirement and, you know, you're worried about, is he going to survive the whole time or not? And then Michael Douglas just had gone crazy. His character, Bill Foster, goes crazy. And
or
essentially
said back then he went postal.
Thank you. Went on a killing spree essentially throughout LA. I'll never forget the scene where he's in the takeoff of the McDonald's and he wants breakfast and it's like 3 minutes late.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, that was the straw that broke the camel's back essentially, where he, you know, is just going off. He left his car in traffic just, you know, to, go on this spree of murder, which was pretty interesting. But yeah, so that was the one. Oh, where'd my list go? There it goes. The next one is The Three Musketeers. The Disney movie.
Yeah.
Big fan of that one with Kiefer Sutherland and Oliver Platt and Charlie Sheen and Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's a fun one. It definitely, you know, takes liberties with The Three Musketeers, obviously, a little bit there. But
close.
They're pretty close to the characters, and it's just the Disney-fied version of it.
Yeah.
And then you get the whole Rod Stewart, Bryan Adams Sting.
Best
song.
Best part of the movie.
End.
Tim Curry,
yeah, as Richelieu. Or no, he was the Cardinal. Sorry,
Cardinal Richelieu.
Yeah, I got that right. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, he was great. And then the guy who killed Brandon Lee on The Crow was Richelieu's ex musketeer.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. Michael.
Was also
he's been in a ton of stuff.
Robin Hood.
Yeah. So all right, there's my two. What do you got next?
Tombstone.
I had Tombstone as well.
Yeah. Really like that movie. It's a really good Western.
Best Western ever?
No, not the best Western ever.
What's the best Western?
Silverado.
Ever? Okay.
Yep.
I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah. Modern Western, Silverado is probably the best. Tombstone is good. Wyatt Earp.
Mm-hmm.
Earp Brothers, OK Corral. You know, yep, the whole story. It's history.
I'm a big fan of Powers Booth in this movie.
I think everybody in this movie was on point.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anybody, like, you know, was bad in this movie.
I don't think Michael Biehn was ever better than he was in this one.
Nah, this was, like, one of his best things, I think.
And wasn't Val Kilmer nominated for the Oscar?
I don't remember. Didn't you have the list?
My list is not, like, yours.
No. Didn't you have a list of all the Oscar nominees and all that?
No, I just had the winners for those.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, but, you know, it's got Sam Elliott, Kurt Russell.
Here, I just go down
Dana
the list
Delaney.
For you.
Oh, you got them all?
Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, Dana Delaney, Bill Paxton, Sam Elliott, Powers mm-hmm. Booth, Michael Biehn, Billy Zane, Jason Priestley,
right.
Robert John Burke, Joanna Pacula,
mm-hmm.
Stephen Lang, Michael Rooker, and John Tenney were like the major.
Yeah, and then you got Thomas Hayden Church. You had a big, fat Billy Bob Thornton.
Had a little bit of everybody.
Michael Rooker?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. This was just a really well done movie, like all the way around. I guess there's some, you know, like Kurt Russell, I guess, rewrote some of it. He directed some of it.
Oh, yeah.
He like really kind of took it on as his own, which, you know, just really
just
showed.
Watching the movie, you could kind of tell that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think what they were trying to say is it was like they were trying to make like the Godfather of Westerns.
I guess it could be. It's not like as great as The Godfather, but
no,
you know, it's a great movie to watch.
Mm-hmm.
That's a movie that, you know, literally anywhere in the movie I'll watch it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It doesn't matter where it is. I'm sitting down and I'm watching the rest of it.
Yeah.
So, budget of $25 million, made $56 million. So,
I don't remember if I seen this one in a theater or not.
I remember going on, because this came out on Christmas Day, and I remember going to see this with my buddy.
I don't remember. I've seen too many movies.
Yeah. All right, what's next? All right, so my next one is Batman: Mask of the Phantasm.
Okay.
So when you argue best Batman movies, I think Mask of the Phantasm, since it has a theatrical release, is obviously number one.
No.
Batman Begins.
No. No.
1989.
1989 is the best Batman ever in a theater. It had the best elements of Batman. Best animated Batman movie? Mask of Phantasm is up there. So, yeah.
It's a takeoff of like year one and year two kind of morphed together with
and
a
combining
a
it with the
story.
Animated series. Yeah. And, you know, most of the animated series cast was in the movie. Dana Delaney's in the movie.
You had Kevin Conroy as Batman, Mark Hamill back as the Joker.
Dana Delaney was like a big name back then.
Yeah, she was awesome. She was hot.
Yeah.
All right. So my next one, just since you have so few and I have so many, is The Firm, which we had mentioned as the number five.
I think I've only seen this once.
I love this movie. It's a little long.
Didn't they do a remake, like a TV
They did a
series?
TV series, which I never watched.
Was it even like linked to the
movie? I don't. I think it was
remake?
Just a remake.
Oh, okay.
So did you read the book?
No.
So this was like that. This is the book that like put John Grisham on the map.
Okay.
And I remember getting it and just tearing through the book. And, you know, it was 93. So I was freshman in high school, just ending my freshman year, going into my sophomore year, whatever.
Oh, okay.
So like it was like kind of right in like the wheelhouse of what like non-school books that I'd want to read.
Yeah.
And, you know, Grisham was good back then. You know, it was this and then The Pelican Brief and A Time to Kill and
every movie that came out, like
every movie after that. But I thought Tom Cruise was awesome in this, and like I remember reading it and not picturing Tom Cruise as Mitch McDeer, but when he came out as that character, it's like, oh, holy shit, yeah,
okay,
I see that. Yeah, that's good casting. Way to go. But yeah, cool. What do you got next?
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, great movie.
I don't know what to say about Jurassic Park.
It changed cinema.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
In the theater. I mean, it was awesome.
I think Spielberg's approach.
The effects in that were.
All right. Let's hold on for a sec.
What?
Spielberg did this and Schindler's List, which came out in the same year.
Yeah.
That's freaking impressive. Like.
But he had been working on Jurassic Park
for a long time.
3 years. Because like a lot of the stuff with Stan Winston Studios and them doing the dinosaurs was, you know, a lot of work.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they had a life-size Tyrannosaurus Rex on set.
Oh yeah.
So
mostly animatronic.
That's pretty cool.
So
that was real.
It was a real T-Rex. They cloned one. How'd they make it so docile?
You know, tasers.
Tasers.
What is it I say when we watch videos where people go into abandoned houses and that, like YouTube videos with the haunting stuff and that, is you take pepper spray and a taser with you no matter where you go. If you go in the woods by yourself, take pepper spray and a taser, because even if it's a ghost, pepper spray or a taser might work.
Yeah, right. The electrical current might break it up.
If it's somebody faking a ghost,
that's definitely gonna work.
So a T-Rex takes a little pepper spray or a taser. It's gonna,
how much pepper spray would it take?
I mean, if you're up there, if he's down, like in the movie when he's down and his eyes right there, if you get that pepper spray right in there,
that's true.
You know, he's going to be like, "Whoa!" And he can't reach
and
his
he can't
face.
Rub his eyes.
He's going to turn into Meet the Robinsons. My head's too big and my arms are too short.
So, Jeff Goldblum was awesome in this movie, probably other than the dinosaurs, the best part as Dr. Ian Malcolm.
I liked Richard Attenborough in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
So this is another one where it really diverted from the book, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I want to say for the better, but then...
Most people do.
We got some of the later movies where they tried to shoehorn the stuff that kind of happened from Jurassic Park afterwards, like
well,
into the Lost World and
you
stuff.
Know, even though the internet wasn't prevalent back then, people still complained, and I think the writers were just trying to ease the fanboys.
Well... So spoilers
of the Crichton books.
So if you're gonna kill, like, killing Richard Attenborough would have been a rough one, like, and especially the way he died in the book. Like, I didn't want to see that, and I'm glad they didn't do that. And to me, that was like the one big thing that,
John
happened,
Hammond
that
was different in the book than he was in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, it totally was Santa Claus in the movie opening up a Jurassic Park. Yeah. Whereas in the book, he was more mercenary type.
And in, yeah, and that's kind of like with the
like
Lost.
Darker. He was kind of darker in that.
The Lost World kind of did, or the second Lost World movie.
Yeah.
Or not Lost. Is it Lost? What is the
Forbidden Kingdom or whatever?
No, no, the. The new
are you talking
series.
World or
yeah
you talking
Jurassic World? Sorry, I kept saying Lost World. Yeah, the second Jurassic World movie,
yeah, Forbidden Kingdom, kind of
went with the whole he was not as nice a guy as maybe
right, like he was doing stuff that you didn't know about in that, or he had compatriots that were doing stuff
right,
and that they still made him look like he was a good guy, but the guy he was working with was not such a good guy, and that's why he had a parting of the ways with him
right.
And that, I mean, you know, Richard Attenborough had been around forever and done a lot of stuff. So it was like, you know, this was excellent casting and that, and just everybody in this movie, like, is pretty good, top notch type people. It's kind of funny because now the kids are grown up and the kid that played the boy.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Tim.
Shows up in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
He's one of the members of Queen.
Which one is he? He's the one who leaves and becomes like the doctor or dentist or whatever. Not Roger or Brian, the other one.
Yeah.
That's how I know that one. I got to say, like, I probably saw this 3 or 4 times in the theater.
I think I've seen it twice in the theater back then.
I know the kid loves this movie. It's like the Jurassic movies are
well, that's
one of her
my list is literally movies where it could be playing any part of the movie and I'll stop and watch it.
Yeah.
That's what my list is.
Yeah. That's how I have.
Yeah.
See, this is why I had a hard time like scaling mine down, because there's so many of those movies on here like that for me. That it's just
no mercy.
No mercy.
No mercy. 5 movies. No mercy.
Sorry, Sensei. Oh, did you see? Speaking of No Mercy, Cobra Kai season 1 is free on YouTube now.
No, I did not.
So you can watch that.
Alrighty then.
So
I gotta watch 100 other things too.
Well, yeah. Did you watch Mindhunter season 2 yet?
That one I watched.
Oh.
In a day.
We have to talk about that.
Yeah, I watched that.
That was a good one. All right.
I like a show where I actually have to go and look up the history of the real incident. Like, I was like, I never heard of the Atlanta child murderers. And I'm like.
Yeah. I hadn't either. The guy that played Charles Manson.
Yeah, is in Once Upon a Time.
He plays Charles Manson. It's Dewey Crow from Justified. Yeah. Well, everybody else might not. But I thought that was
funny.
This
thing called the internet.
I know, but we can help people without
It would have been cool if they would have got the guy who actually committed the Sharon Tate murders from Once Upon a Time to play him in Mindhunter.
That
would
have been
like,
cool.
I would have been like, man.
Mindhunter is in the Tarantino-verse.
That would have been cool.
So, all right. My next one is Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Yeah.
Cary Elwes as Robin Hood, who, unlike some Robin Hoods, can speak with a British accent.
Cary Elwes?
Yeah. As they were making fun of Kevin Costner for not having an accent.
Well.
This is Mel Brooks. I love Mel Brooks. You know, Young Frankenstein is one of my favorites.
I remember seeing this in the theater, like, later on. Like,
yeah.
That's back then when they had dollar cinemas, and I remember going to the dollar cinema and seeing this.
So I saw this when I was out in Cheyenne, Wyoming for like 6 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Doing with the guys from my cross country team, like training in the altitude. And we had gone to see this movie, and I'll never forget, because as we were walking out, the special needs kid was trying to convince us to go see Free Willy.
Okay.
Like, which was just super sweet. And he was just like, go see Free Willy. The way he said it was just made us laugh.
Sure.
We weren't laughing at him or anything. He was just funny. He was just generally a sweet little guy. And he's like, it's the best movie I've ever seen. And I just want to touch a whale's belly. Like, that's what he took away from it.
And you went and seen Free Willy.
We went and saw Robin Hood, Men in Tights. But we went back and saw Free Willy after that.
Next on the list.
But no, this one is great. And it's got like a nice little second run for me, because as the kid's gotten older and I've started showing her more and more stuff, this is one of her favorites. And it was just, it's so much fun. Dave Chappelle, a really young Dave Chappelle.
Sure, yeah.
A very
diverse audience.
It is
proud.
It was a cast, whatever.
Yeah.
But Amy Yazbek, you know, Cincinnati's own, was in that one. That was cool. Tracy Ullman.
How long did she live here?
I don't know. She went to Ursuline.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I mean, at least through high school.
I just think it's funny when somebody says Cincinnati Zone or whatever town, and it's like, ah, they lived there for a year.
Right. Yay. And then who was the – oh, Christian Slater. No, Christian Slater was in the other one. Dick Van Patten was the abbot.
You getting your movies mixed up?
Yeah, I was getting them mixed up. I'm looking for the Sheriff of Nottingham. I can't remember his name. The actor. Oh, Roger Reese played Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah, from Cheers.
Yep, he was awesome as that. And then Mark Blankfeld is Blinken.
Yeah.
Robin's servant had gone blind was really funny as well.
Because the servant was blind.
Yep.
And, yeah.
So, and then Isaac Hayes was... Dave Chappelle's dad. He was a sneeze to Dave Chappelle's achoo, which you gotta love Mel Brooks. But yeah, it's just a really, really fun movie that is totally 100% rewatchable over and over again.
Oh yeah.
So, all right, what do you got next?
Much Ado About Nothing.
Ooh, that was a good one with Kenneth Branagh directed.
Yeah.
Starring Keanu.
Starring Kenneth. Keanu plays the villain in this.
Yep.
Yeah. So this cast is Kenneth Branagh, Emma Thompson, who was his wife at the time, Michael Keaton, Denzel Washington, Keanu Reeves, Robert Sean Leonard, and Kate Beckinsale in one of her earliest roles.
So do you remember her in that?
Brian Blessed.
And The Last Days of Disco with a young Kate Beckinsale and Chloe Sevigny. Did you ever watch that one?
I've seen that one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I remember. That was where I first found... Kate Beckinsale when she first came into my life.
This is probably one of my favorite Shakespeare plays too.
Yeah.
Just because it's not dark.
Yeah.
It's more comedy than dark.
It's fun, you know.
Yeah, it has dark moments, but it's just more of a, you know, jaunty, and then where he picked to shoot it was great, so it looks beautiful. And
Denzel was really good in this one.
Denzel's really good in this.
Because he's not Denzel. He's what was his character's name? Do you
don't have? I don't remember. I don't have the character's names.
Anyway, all right, but yeah, that was a good one.
Keanu's his brother.
That one almost went on my list.
Did you know that in the movie?
Yeah.
Keanu's his half brother.
So,
yeah,
you know, they did a good job with all of that.
I did not see this one until years later, and like, I had it on VHS. And
I saw this
much
one
ran it down.
In AP English senior year in high school.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Our teacher played this for us.
Okay,
so. Because he's like, yeah, we did this, and...
Here, we're not going to read the Shakespeare. We're just going to watch the Shakespeare.
No, we read it, and then he showed us the movie. And then what was the other one? It was... wasn't Richard III or King... It wasn't King Lear. It was one with Gandalf.
That would have been Richard III.
Yeah, Richard III.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was what he was...
Which was really cool.
What he was known for at that point.
Cool.
Well, Kenneth Branagh directed two Shakespeare plays.
Othello and...
maybe
Did he do Othello?
I don't remember him doing Othello. He did Henry V.
Oh, okay. Who did Othello?
No idea.
I don't know. I don't care.
I'm looking up... Yeah, because Henry V is the thing that they put on IMDb for him.
Okay, cool.
As being known for, instead of Thor, for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what's fun is watching his early movies and seeing, like, things that now it's like, oh, yeah, that's Kenneth Branagh doing that.
Right.
Because, like, watching Thor, you see stuff from, the comedic elements of Thor. You can see where he picked up on that. Like, I like a lot of Kenneth Branagh movies because Dead Again is
he's a good director.
One. I mean,
that was with Nicole Kidman and Sam Neill. No,
that's Dead Calm.
Dead Calm.
Dead Again is him and Emma Thompson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and Robin Williams.
Yeah. Okay, I remember that now. Yeah, cool. All right, I'm going to do a couple here
real
quick.
For it.
So my next one is The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin and Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
I'll never forget Mr. Highway.
Been a long time since I've seen that.
So Macaulay Culkin in this is just he's a 12-year-old or no, I'm sorry. Him and Mark are both 12. Him and Elijah Wood's characters, they're cousins, they're 12. And Macaulay Culkin plays Henry and Mark is his
Henry's
cousin.
Evil.
And Henry is evil. It's alluded to throughout the entire movie that he killed his baby brother by drowning him.
Okay.
Which,
like I said, it's been a long time since I've seen this.
Pretty messed up. And then Henry just starts getting more and more violent. He threatens Mark. He throws a dummy, Mr. Highway, off of a bridge, causing a massive pileup, which led to a bunch of copycat kids doing that. I don't know if you remember, where they had talked about like cutting that out of the movie. Do you remember the program, the movie about the college football, where the kids went, like where the guys were like laying down on the highway and letting the cars, they were laying down on the lines.
Yeah, I remember.
And then some kids, dumbass kids, actually did that, and one of them got run over.
Hey, you know,
like that's Darwinism at its finest, right?
Our movie's real life.
But yeah, this is such a good movie, and it's dark, and it's Macaulay Culkin coming off of Home Alone, like totally different kind of.
Was this like 2 years after?
Yeah, a couple years after. The tagline: "Evil has many faces." Which it should have said many faces because he's little. I'm kidding. That would have been awful. David Morris is his dad. Just you know, as good. He's always good. So yeah, that was a good one. And then the other one is A Perfect World with Kevin Costner and Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, I like this one a lot too.
And I think Elijah Wood, right?
No,
who's the kid?
I don't remember his name.
Pulling it up.
Laura Dern's in this movie.
Yeah.
And that, I forget who else is in it.
TJ Lothar is the kid. But yeah, no, this is a great one. This was Kevin Costner, Clint Eastwood, and Laura Dern are the main ones.
Right.
Directed by Clint Eastwood. So
produced by Clint Eastwood.
Starring Clint Eastwood. Written by.
It's a Clint Eastwood joint.
John Lee Hancock. So Kevin Costner plays a convict, him along with Terry Pugh, who escapes from a Texas penitentiary. Or, I'm sorry, a Huntsville. Yeah, Texas penitentiary.
Who? Terry who?
Terry Pugh. Oh, I'm sorry. The act, Keith.
The character's name. Sabargia,
yeah. And they come into a house.
You know
where
he was on Angel, right?
Was he?
He was the one that raised Connor.
That's right.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, he was the bad guy, good guy, whatever guy you want
to
call him.
So we've been talking about maybe starting to watch like Buffy with the kid.
Sure.
And it's like, I can't wait till we get far enough along so she can start watching Angel and then not worry about Buffy anymore because Angel was the better show.
Okay. They both were fine to me. But
anyway.
Okay.
But so they escape. They need a hostage. They take the kid. And, you know, it just kind of turns into a whole thing where Clint Eastwood is the cop trying to catch them.
Well, yeah, Kevin Costner's character is a criminal with a code.
Yep.
And that, so there's a few moments in there where you're like, oh, okay, cool. You know, he plays really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Really good bad guy, I guess.
Really does. So, you know, he the little kid, Philip, never got to do, like, Halloween or Christmas or anything like that. So Butch gives him, like, a Halloween.
Yeah, because, well, his family's Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was that thing where, you know, it kind of messed with his mind. It messed with Butch's mind that, wait a minute, you know, you've never had the holiday before? So they do the steal the Halloween mask.
So, yeah, that was funny. The other thing is kind of at the end of the movie when Butch is killed. It's November 22nd, and they're, you know, it's kind of a allusion to Kennedy being killed on the same day in Texas. So, what I remember most about this movie is just how beautiful it was with all like just that Texas landscape.
Yep,
and Eastwood getting these gigantic shots, just these huge
shots. Any Eastwood movie you watch, you're like, wow, you know, just
like you know when they say, oh, they don't make them like this anymore. Like, they really don't shoot movies like he shot this one anymore.
Oh, right.
But, yeah.
But even, like, Trouble with a Curve, I think he shot that one. And, like, just the way he shoots.
Well, he had to do a bunch of up-close in that because, you know, Justin couldn't play baseball. But
I mean, like, shooting the baseball
games.
But
the baseball
games
and scenes were really good, yeah. So, all right, what do you got next? Is this your last one?
No, I got two left.
Okay.
Dazed and Confused.
Good movie.
Yep. with a very large cast.
I didn't see Dazed and Confused until like my senior year in college.
Oh, really?
I have no idea how I missed this in high school. I mean, I know I didn't see it like when it came out because I don't think I
seen it like probably 95 or 96, hanging out with different people and, you know, watching movies and that. And I remember seeing it and was like, I'm going to buy this.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
I see this at Blockbuster on the, you know.
Oh, used, this was a
used VHS boxes. This was a, I'm buying this.
This was a movie that was never in. Right.
Oh, no.
It was always checked out. And I remember, oh, you know what? It was when I was working at Blockbuster the first time that I saw this. So this was the late 90s. So, yeah. And we watched it like after hours in the Blockbuster.
Oh, like on the screens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We put them up on a bunch of the TVs and just sat there and ate pizza and watched it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. It was what's her name? Parker Posey.
Yeah,
was in this, and I remember having a mini crush on her.
Really,
like just in general, because I like Parker Posey. Young Ben Affleck is in this one.
Young everybody.
Yeah.
The list goes: Jason London, Rory Cochran, Matthew McConaughey, Mila Jovovich, Joey Lauren Adams, Ben Affleck, and Parker Posey.
So Rory Cochran was in that Empire Records,
mm-hmm.
which was really good.
And he was on CSI Miami for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
He got killed, right?
I think his character did get killed, yeah.
Because it was like all hard on David Duchovny.
David Duchovny.
Or David Caruso. Duchovny. David Caruso, thank you.
Like Duchovny was on a. I don't remember Duchovny.
Who were the kids that were trying to get away from hazing? Do you remember which actors played them?
Hold on, I'm looking at
it. Oh, okay. So I do remember Jason London. Was it Jason or Jeremy London?
It was Jason.
Jason. He was like the
it
cool guy.
It could have
guy.
Been Jeremy, too. Like, you never you know. They're those twins. Two, they're
it's mean. The one who wasn't in Mallrats.
So it was Jason.
So.
The main kid's name was Mitch.
Yeah.
He was played by Wiley Wiggins.
Okay.
And then, let's see, because they don't list this in the order of character Bastards. Importance. Adam Goldberg was in this movie.
Yeah.
Anthony Rapp was in this movie.
Yep.
I don't know the other boys. Yeah. He's the only one I can find because he was the main.
Yeah, he was the main.
Well, most of them aren't even, like, acting now, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you see Everybody Wants Some? Linkletter's kind of follow up to this.
The one where they were in college?
The baseball movie.
Yeah, the baseball movie. I watched it. It was okay.
It was all right. I don't think it was as good as this one.
He's hit and miss on movies, I think. Like, you know, I've seen a few of his movies, but, like, it's hit and miss.
Yeah.
I've never seen the Before movies, Before Sunrise and all those.
Oh, okay.
I've never seen those, but, like, the movies I have seen of his are just kind of, like, hit and miss.
Yeah.
So, you know. Who else was in this? Somebody
Did you get hazed?
No. That's a 70s thing. That's when this movie takes place.
I know.
60s or 70s. Cole Hauser.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, Cole Hauser was in this movie. But yeah, it's full of like everybody
too fast,
that
too
like,
furious own.
What, 10 years later, they were all like big stars in that, or you didn't hear about
or them. Out of the business altogether.
Yeah.
Linda Cardellini wasn't in this one, was she?
No.
No.
Nope.
Oh, Freaks and Geeks. That's what I was thinking of with her.
Yeah, she was in Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
And I'm sure like, I don't know. Let's see if there's any real fun trivia with this one. Ah, that's funny. That the first trivia thing is actually funny. It says in the scene where the kids are building the paddles, the teacher in the shop who's sleeping is actually a real teacher at the school and still works there.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Reportedly, 1/6 of the film's budget was spent on acquiring the rights to the 70s pop hits on the soundtrack.
Oh, I imagine. Like,
yeah, there's
you know,
a lot.
It was.
Yeah. Oh, and Matthew McConaughey's character is based on his older brother.
On Matthew McConaughey's older brother?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's what it says in there.
Or as he would say, all right, all right, all right.
The beer drunk by most of the cast, excluding the minors, was actually real beer.
Okay.
Jason London, however, refused to drink the beer and was trying to stop smoking as well.
Okay.
Well, okay. All right.
Maybe that's not the movie to make for you then.
Yeah. Those are some of the more interesting things.
Cool. All right. So my next one is So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Okay.
The Mike Myers, Nancy Travis comedy.
Doesn't Mike Myers play his dad too?
He does. Mike Myers plays his dad. Anthony, I love Anthony LaPaglia in this one as his best friend,
yeah,
who's the cop. And then you have what's his name? Alan Arkin as the captain. And so Anthony LaPaglia's character Tony keeps trying to get the captain to yell at him because he thinks being a cop, he should be doing like car chases and not just paperwork.
Yeah, and it's the comedy cop thing.
And Alan Arkin is just really just loving, like he's a teddy bear, and he's like,
and it's Alan Arkin who usually is yelling at people in movies.
And,
so,
and it's that's what made it so funny.
Yeah.
And then you have freaking Mike Myers as Charlie and Stewart, as Charlie is the kid, Stewart is the dad.
Yeah.
Who is a beat poet in San Francisco in the 90s. That's how he makes his money. Nancy Travis is a butcher. Amanda Plummer is her sister, who is the crazy person.
That's what Amanda Plummer plays.
Yeah, right.
She was the sister in Pet Sematary too. That was the crazy one.
You Phil Hartman is in this movie as the Alcatraz tour guide.
He was in a lot of the SNL movies, like people's movies. Like, I think they just asked him, hey, Phil, you want to do this part? Like,
oh, yeah.
He was one of those guys that like, yeah, sure, I'll do that.
Well, and they were talking about, he was talking about when one of the gangsters from Chicago ended up in Alcatraz and he had a bitch and they, you know, they took the bitch's eyes and then pissed at the ocular science. It's just like the way, because it's that Phil Hartman delivery.
Right.
And it was just so like, it's just so deadpan.
The smile and it's just like, hey, how's it going?
And they pissed in the bitch's ocular sockets. Yeah. And then I'll never forget Matt Doherty, who plays Charlie's little brother.
Head! Pants new! Go cry yourself to sleep on your giant pillow.
So I love, like, this movie is like super quotable. Charles Grodin is in this.
Yeah.
When Anthony Paglia has to commandeer his vehicle, and he's like, no, you can't. You don't have the right to do that. Yeah. It's really funny. I don't know. This was just a really, really good movie. It's a solid 93 minutes. Like, it never drags. You know
what happened to Anthony LaPaglia not being cast in comedies?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, he was great in comedies.
Yeah,
like, he was great in Empire Records.
Yep.
And he played a serious, like this more serious character, but he still had comedic moments.
So I did not see.
He got cast on a NCIS type show, and that was it.
Yeah, I didn't see Empire Records until this year.
Wow.
Which, like, Angel was like, "What do you mean you've never seen Empire Records?" Like, that movie is like, and I love it. I've probably watched it 5 times this year, and. It was like $4.99 on iTunes.
That's
and I knew
crazy.
Angel liked it, so I bought it for her. And,
but you had never seen it.
And I had never seen it.
Wow.
So, but this one is fun. It was directed by Thomas Schlame, written by Robbie Fox, who I don't know who that is. But
he's that guy.
Yeah.
The guy that, you know.
He's that guy who wrote So I Married an Axe Murderer.
So I Married an Axe Murderer movie.
This was a great, like, Mike Myers post Wayne's World, because Wayne's World 2 came out in 93 as well, so he had these two, this one and Wayne's World 2. It was just kind of a nice thing. We get the voice of Shrek coming out of this movie with his dad.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah,
so,
but that was, I think, like his father or his grandfather was really like,
yeah, that was
Scottish,
he was, it was based on his, I think, his real dad.
Yeah.
You know, he's super Scottish in the movie. Wear a kilt, like, at the wedding and everything.
Yeah.
There's a bagpipe player. He loves the Bay City Rollers, all of that.
Hey.
You know, the singing, if you want my body. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so funny. We have a piper down. The piper is down. So, just an awesome movie all the way around. Good cast, too. Stephen Wright as the pilot. Do you remember Stephen Wright, the comedian?
Yeah, I don't
like
really talk
with
like
his
that.
With his
monotone.
We're going to land the plane or not? So, but yeah. All right, what's your last one?
Debbie Mazar was.
Yeah, she was too. Tony's girlfriend, and at the diner when like Nancy Travis was mean to her, and everything, and she's like, "You're gonna let her talk to me like that?" And the Debbie Mazar way.
Yeah. Well, that's funny because they must have been a couple or something because they're both in Empire Records together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they're friends.
Or
they're
friends,
yeah.
Robbie Fox didn't do much else.
No. All right.
In the Army now.
Okay.
The Pauly Shore movie.
Yeah.
My last one's The Fugitive.
Great movie.
I don't care.
So my low-key favorite thing about The Fugitive is the guy that played the janitor in Scrubs. Is the cop on the subway
the one who gets shot
right?
Yeah.
And later on in Scrubs, when JD is looking up information about the janitor, he finds the scene.
Oh really?
And he's like, wait a second, this was you? And he's like, yeah, I'm an actor, don't tell anybody. Yeah. And like, you know, it
That's
was just
funny.
Really really funny. But no, this was great. Did you like U.S. Marshals, the follow-up to this?
U.S. Marshals is fine. It's not this movie. I think that Andrew Davis, the guy who directed this movie, made it what it was.
Yeah.
Like, the cast is awesome because it's Harrison Ford, Tommy Lee Jones, Yaron Krab, Joe Pantoliano, Celia Ward, mm-hmm. Julianne Moore, and Andreas Katsoulis.
Joey Pants.
One arm man.
Yep.
It's a good movie. Chicago, like, is a character mm-hmm. in the movie.
Oh,
so,
absolutely.
Like, you know, 100%. It's just one of those things. The soundtrack's great. It's just one of those movies where I'm like, yeah, I'm bored. I'll watch that.
Just in general, I've got nothing to do. I'm just going to watch The Fugitive.
I'll literally pull out The Fugitive.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I've watched it more times than I could probably count. Yeah, but yeah, I think like it's just a good movie.
Yeah, it's really well done.
Like I watched the TV series off and on as a kid. You know,
yeah, the reruns
it was on,
and stuff.
Yeah, it was on reruns and that and. It's just one of those things where it's like they did a really good job of translating this into like a mm-hmm. big budget movie. Harrison Ford, the beard. Mm-hmm. I mean,
oh yeah,
love the beard.
Yeah, right.
And that man, it's like you should have that beard more often.
Just keep the beard, Harry.
Yeah, but like it's just a awesome movie. I don't know what else to really say. Julianne Moore had like a very small role.
Right.
I think this was one of her first movies.
Who was his wife?
Celia Ward.
That's right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she's one of those actresses that I'm like was a, like one of the more beautiful actresses at the
she
time.
Still is.
Yeah,
like you know, she's ageless.
I think she should play villains and stuff too.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah. I always thought that she should have been on like Star Trek as a Romulan.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I always thought she
yeah,
would have been a good
that.
Romulan. And that. But yeah, the Andrew Davis directed Under Siege.
Yeah.
And that. So it was like you know, that was the movie he did right before this movie. So it's like, you could just see the action mm-hmm. and all that. And then.
Well, and it was such constrained action, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because Under Siege is a really good movie as well.
Yeah.
But it's just balls out action.
Right. But I think, like, you know, working with Tommy Lee Jones and that was just, you know, a thing.
It's funny because, like, Tommy Lee Jones had been an actor.
He was a native of Chicago.
Okay.
Or he is a native of Chicago.
Well,
so.
That makes sense then.
Chicago's own Andrew Davis.
There you go. Cool. Yeah, great movie. Nominated for a bunch of Oscars, won one. So.
Yeah.
This was a tough year, man. It was this, Schindler's List, Philadelphia. Tommy Lee won for Best Supporting.
Yeah.
The Piano, Age of Innocence. I mean, like. This was definitely like one of those years where like all of the Oscar movies were also all really popular.
I think this is the first
really
movie I've seen Tommy
Lee Jones in. Yeah, it was like he had been in other things.
Oh, he'd been in
but this massive was amount. This
was
his
Cole
breakout
Reiner's
role.
Daughter and that.
Right.
So it's like, you know, but like this was one of those ones where it was like for my generation this
so
was
like
that movie where you're like that's the first movie I've seen Tommy Lee Jones
so
in
like
and
Taken?
It's like I seen Under Siege and I'm like that's the same guy.
So like Taken with Liam Neeson, like that started that like second half of his career.
Yeah.
You know, because he was Schindler.
Right.
And
yeah.
then you didn't really
Like, he showed up in stuff, but
he's in like next to Ken with Patrick Swayze.
Like, the first thing I seen him in was Darkman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
and then when he shows up in Kroll, every time I see Kroll, I'm like, hey, there's Liam Neeson. Because he just plays one of the like background.
He's got a special set of skills.
Him and Hagrid are in that movie.
Robbie
and it's
Denson.
Like, hey, there's Hagrid. Hey, there's Qui-Gon Jinn. That's my last one.
All right. So I have two more.
Yeah.
They're both super just guilty pleasure movies.
Sure.
The first one is Aspen Extreme.
Oh, yeah. I remember
that
movie.
The skiing movie.
Yeah.
Starring Paul Gross, who I don't remember anything he was in before or anything he was in
after. I can
tell
you what he was in before because it's one of my favorite TV series, Due South.
Oh, yeah. He was. He was the Mountie.
I forgot about that.
And then this was my introduction to Pete Berg.
Yes.
As Dexter Techie.
Yeah.
And this movie, like meeting Pete Berg in this movie, like totally set me up to be a Pete Berg fan for the rest of my life.
Like, because this is literally
like, wait, this guy's a director too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm all in. Like, yeah. I love like Friday Night Lights, Hancock, the Friday Night Lights TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, all that stuff. Pete Berg shows up on Ballers from time to time.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, so, that's right. It's been a while since I watched that.
So this movie is about two guys who ski on a man-made hill in Brighton, Michigan, just outside of Detroit. And they work in a car, like one of the car manufacturers.
Yeah.
And they up and just move to Aspen. And it's so funny because if you look at this now, right, they move out there in their van. They've got the van life thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they move into a train car as just
like
tiny
an abandoned
home.
Train car.
Right, but it's like a tiny house. Like, you know, it's like it was ahead
like
of its time.
Like today, yeah.
Like what kids would do today. But they move out there to train to be in the Powder 8 ski competition.
Terry Polo.
And Terry Polo is,
I forgot. And William Russ is in this movie.
Yeah, this is Finola Hills.
Finola Hughes.
Finola Hughes,
from
sorry.
General Hospital.
Yeah. Like, this was a, like, low-key awesome cast. But, yeah, so they move out there. The Seattle Times called this Top Gun on the ski slopes. Because
I have to disagree.
But, well, it's not as good as Top Gun.
This is literally like a B movie version of Top Gun.
You're giving it a lot of credit.
It
might be like an F movie or an E movie of Top Gun. But they go out there. You know, Paul Gross's character is, you know, TJ Burke. He's super handsome.
They quit their jobs to become ski instructors in Aspen.
He's the handsome, like, super talented skier.
Aspen was like the big deal thing at the time.
I remember because I had just started skiing the year before. So when this came out, it's like, oh, it's a skiing movie, let's go watch it.
Oh god.
And it's like, wait a second, like, one, I don't think there's a Powder 8 competition. I don't think that's real. It might be, I don't know. It just seems like a really stupid competition, but it's filmed in Aspen. The mountains are beautiful. The ski scenes are awesome.
No, it's not.
What?
It says every time TJ and Dexter venture into the backcountry, they are transported to the Coast Range of British Columbia.
Interesting.
This includes the Powder 8 Championships. Huh. TJ's fall into a crevasse is especially unlikely given that there are no glacier in Colorado.
So, all right. But
that's great.
It's beautiful scenery. Like, the skiing is awesome.
British Columbia looks beautiful in this movie.
British Columbia
as
is
it does
beautiful
in
aspect.
Most movies.
Yeah. Just in general, in real life. So Dex dies. TJ decides he's going to quit, and then he gets back in, and so when they get out there, Dex doesn't make the cut, right, to be a ski instructor. So TJ goes and he's like, out.
I want to watch this movie and read all the goofs.
Oh, there's a ton of them.
There's a goof in here that says, when Dex and TJ walk up the mountain the second time, one can clearly see the drop-off point from the helicopter trip when the camera pans around the mountain.
Oh, there's all these, like, they're supposed to be making fresh tracks, and there's just, like, tracks everywhere, footprints and all that stuff. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
So so one of the funny things is, so TJ gets hired and Dex doesn't, but Dex doesn't know that. So TJ goes, you gotta hire him or else I'm not gonna take the job.
Yeah,
so they make him Santa Claus and they make him work with the kids, which then turns into like a position for like the one of the newbies.
He had like
all
the best
time.
Last name,
Dex Rutecki. That is a great name.
Like that should have been the name of one of the soldiers in Aliens.
Yeah, right. Just think, Dex Rutecki. That's an awesome like band name.
Jeez.
Right. We're going to see Dex Rutecki tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Punk rock.
These goofs, but. Man.
Yeah, pretty bad.
When the two arrive in Aspen from Detroit, they have the scenic Marin Bells behind them. The road behind them doesn't go to Detroit. It continues for about a mile into Marin Bells Wilderness. They would have been looking at a bunch of trees. Also, the road has a bunch of snow on it in the next scene where they show Ajax. There's no snow on the road. That's like funny. Literally, like there's just like, yeah, this movie's that bad. That, yeah.
Oh, it's not a good movie, yeah. But I love it. All right. So then my last one, another guilty pleasure, is Airborne.
Okay.
The rollerblading movie that was shot here in Cincinnati.
Yeah, yeah.
First time remember really seeing Seth Green. You know, had Brittany Powell in it.
This was like one of his first movies, yep. Wasn't it?
And then it had Shane McDermott.
Okay.
Don't know what he's ever been in before or after. Never saw him again either.
He robbed a bank.
he robbed a bank.
I don't know. One of these people did rob a bank.
Okay. I'm sure we'll find it here.
No, it's not but, him, though. Oh, he was on. Well, he was on All My Children.
Oh, okay.
He's been married since 2011. They have two children.
So Jack Black is in this movie.
Yeah.
A really young Jack Black. And then what's his name? He was the bully in Gross
Point Blank.
So
Shane McDermott, like after Airborne, was on an episode of Law and Order and was on six episodes of All My Children.
Okay.
That's it. He's done.
You had Edie McClurg as Seth Green's mom, which was great.
Yeah.
And Patrick O'Brien as Uncle Louie.
Oh, do you want to know what Shane McDermott's doing?
As
of 2005.
Okay.
He was selling real estate in Galveston, Texas.
Awesome. Good for him.
He has no desire to return to show business.
Good for him.
But if you're ever doing a pop culture convention, mm-hmm. you probably could get Shane McDermott.
There you go.
Brittany Powell. Chris Conrad. Chris Conrad went on to be on Young Hercules.
Yeah.
Yeah. He played, I forget what, he played one of the characters that actually, like, continues on the regular Hercules. Shirt.
Yeah.
So, Alana Ubach is in this movie.
Yeah. So here's the funny thing about this movie. It's all about rollerblading and roller hockey in Cincinnati, right?
Yeah.
It was never as big as it was in this movie.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like, I mean, I remember having rollerblades before this came out.
Well,
and,
this is one of those ones where it's like movies that take place in Cincinnati. Every version of Cincinnati that you see in a movie, except for maybe Eight Men Out.
Yeah.
Is fictional.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's just fictional. Like, so, there's either not so crazy stuff as what's in a movie or crazier stuff that's in
right.
a movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Stuart Copeland from The Police did the music for this movie.
Oh, yeah.
This movie was made for $2.6 million.
This movie links to Buffy the Vampire
made
Slayer.
$2.9 million. Oh, yeah? How?
Pretty sure Larry Bagby was on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Well, Seth Green was on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Well, I meant, yeah, besides the obvious. Larry Bagby was one of those ones that showed up in the background on Buffy a lot, I'm pretty
oh,
sure.
Oh, okay.
And he was in the battle. I think he got killed in the battle with the mayor.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
The senior,
right.
The senior fight.
Yeah,
pretty sure. Yeah, he played Larry Blaisdell.
Okay,
and he was on six episodes, but like he was one of the more memorable background characters.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I see him and I'm like, hey, he was on Buffy. Who directed this movie? Rob Bowman directed this movie. Rob Bowman directed a lot of episodes of X-Files and Star Trek: The Next Generation.
All right. He directed Reign of Fire.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and Elektra.
What? What's Elektra?
That movie that never happened after Daredevil.
Okay.
So, like I said, this is just a really fun guilty pleasure movie.
Well, yeah, sure. It's just it's you know, if you've seen this when you were in high school or like you know
I was
just
like
finishing high school,
15, 14,
it's one of those movies that takes you back. And you're like, oh, yeah, I remember hanging out with such and such and watching this movie.
And you know, they spend a lot of time in Newport, you know, and it's when Newport was still
Southern
dangerous.
Cincinnati?
But it was when Newport was still dangerous,
right,
and
yeah.
nobody actually went to Newport. I thought
except
that was pretty funny.
Except for the inline skaters. They
right.
were all down there. That's what made it dangerous.
But they had the scene where they had the big downhill race, and it ended underneath Riverfront Stadium in the movie.
Yeah.
And so you watch, and there's a point where he jumps off of, like, the highway.
Yep.
And it's like, all right, if he did that, he's breaking multiple bones in his legs because
well, sure, yeah.
it was really high. But, yeah.
Yeah, it says it on the trivia that though never given credit, a decent portion of the movie is filmed in Newport, Covington, and Hamilton, Ohio.
Oh, yeah. There's some of it in Hamilton.
Wiley's
well.
House, the restaurant, yep. double date scenes, and some of the races were shot in those locations. Bellevue, Kentucky is the only Kentucky city ever given credit.
Okay.
Yeah, that's weird.
For good reason. I don't know what that good reason is, but...
This isn't a spoiler, even though they say spoilers on this. The final race scene actually takes place all over Cincinnati. It begins in the Westside community of Colerain Township on Springdale Road, overlooking Interstate 74, and jumps all over town, including central areas, Mount Auburn near the Christ Hospital. Like, this is
like Baby Driver. So, they have you ever
no,
seen?
No, you know what it is. These inline skates are portkeys.
You've seen Baby Driver.
I've seen Baby Driver.
Okay. Have you seen
all over
Have you seen the map of what the actual like where
no,
they go?
I've never
so it's like they're here and then they're like 20 miles
yeah.
away and, but that's the next shot.
Well, that's like a lot of those movies where it's like bike racing movies and that unless it's like something where it actually takes place in a real situation.
Yeah.
It's like not realistic at all. Like we shot this scene there and then we went over there and then we went over there and everybody who lived in Cincinnati who's seen this movie went, wait a minute, how did he get there? And you're like at the time you're like, how did he get from Colerain to downtown? It's like that's really far. So you know it's a fun movie though.
Yeah, it's definitely super fun. But no, there was do you remember the guy that was the bully in Grosse Pointe Blank?
No,
where he was the blonde guy, he had the he was the car salesman, Michael Cudlitz. He played Abraham.
Oh, yeah, Cudlitz.
So he's Cudlitz is in this movie, like super young as one of the.
Literally, he's one of the
bullies.
Gang, yeah, one
the,
of the gang,
the quote unquote gang.
Yes, the gang.
You know, it was pretty funny.
Where yeah. the only issue they had with him, besides him being like a smart ass guy from California, was. He was hitting on the main leader's girl,
yep.
or sister.
Yeah.
Sister, wasn't it?
It's sister, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris Conrad's sister.
Hey, buddy, leave my sister alone.
You leave my sister out of this. But, yeah, it's just.
Whereas in Cincinnati, sisters can take care of themselves. They don't need the brothers to do it.
Nope.
It's fiction.
So, yep. All right. So that was 1993.
Five movies next time.
I couldn't remember if it was five or seven.
I'm gonna go overboard next time.
You're gonna
pick five.
You're gonna
be like, I got 73 movies. I'm gonna pick the worst movies ever too.
I don't know. I think I picked a pretty bad list this time.
No, I don't think this movie. No, like, if you put Gamer on there, I'd be like flipping the table and leaving. I'd be like done. Done. Don't ever put that on a great.
Whoa, what
movie
year
list.
Was Gamer this, like 97? Like this is just a fun list.
So this,
I'm sorry,
literally the list. The concept of this list is what we've always said. It's just movies where literally, if it's on, if you flip it on TV, and you're like, "Oh man, I haven't watched this in like 2 weeks."
Right. Oh, trust me, like.
Oh, this is a part where Tommy Lee Jones is gonna go, "I don't care."
I'm in.
Like, done, man.
Yeah, you just, like, I'm just in.
At points, there, these movies are ones where you've watched them so much, you could do them beat for beat, and then when you start watching it, like, in the middle of the movie,
right.
you go, shit, I missed the train wreck. Like, literally, there's parts where I'll go into these movies and be like, damn, Bill Paxton's dead already.
So... Do you use the website Just Watch to see what's come
no.
out? So there's this website. It's called JustWatch.com.
Yeah.
So you can sponsor us if you want, guys. Wow. With your late episode.
Hey, take anyway. A look at my leg. It's like whoring yourself out. You can sponsor us.
Anyway, so it shows you what's new every day on all the streaming services.
Oh,
so
okay.
You can go through and like do like Hulu, HBO,
sure,
whatever.
Yeah.
Like, so going through, any of these movies show up on that list and I subscribe to a streaming service.
I own every single one of these movies.
Well, I own a bunch of them too, but I still go and I save them to the watch list.
Because you're like, man, it's easier than digging out. Like if you have it just on DVD or a Blu-ray, you're like, it's easier to digging it out.
So,
but some of these I've actually like, I think I have them on digital at this point.
So like I'm in the process of like just transferring everything to digital.
Yeah.
And you know, and yeah, so like I don't have the Three Musketeers on digital. I don't have the Good
See, that
Son,
one's a hard one. So like that was on one of them a few months ago. It was only on for 1 month.
Right.
And it seems like every year it's only on for 1 month.
And when it's on, like it was, so it was on, so it did the rounds. It was on HBO, then Amazon, then Netflix.
Yeah.
For like consecutive months for one month at a time. I watched it on all three
services.
All
three of them, right, yeah.
I
watched it because I was like, holy crap, I haven't seen that in a while.
Right. But yeah.
And I think I think like I did get rid of almost all my VHS tapes. And that was one of the ones I think I did get rid of.
I don't have any VHS tapes. I had that in the clamshell.
I've got, well, that's the way they released it because it was a Disney movie. And that, but like, you know, there's a few VHSs I've kept for sentimental reasons.
Sure.
And that, or because of Star Wars. I think I have every release of Star Wars on any.
Yeah. All the media.
Yeah. All the media. But like there's a few, I think I have like maybe five or six VHS tapes I've kept just for sentimental purposes.
Yeah.
And that, and I remember having that in the clamshell and watching the hell out of it. Like, man, I want to learn how to use a sword.
Not only a sword, a rapier sword.
Like, I could do this in a movie. So. But Michael Wincock, is that his
name?
Yeah, Michael Wincock. Like, always like that dude. When he shows up in stuff.
Oh,
like,
I'm always happy
because he's
in
like,
a movie.
But he showed up in The Count of Monte Cristo as the prison guy. And I'm like, hey, Michael Wincott. Good to see you. But he was always a fun, like, you know, the gravelly voice and that, the villain type thing. And I'm like, man, whenever he shows up, it's awesome.
Yes, sir.
And like I said, Tim Curry in this movie is just.
I mean, Tim Curry.
Becca De Mornay is like awesome in this, even though she's like just got a little role.
Yeah.
And I think Chris O'Donnell was just playing himself.
So Chris O'Donnell
like
did this,
surly,
and then he did the proposal. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Like the next year.
Yeah.
Whatever. So when he was in Circle of Friends, which was 91 or 92.
Yeah.
With Minnie Driver.
Yeah.
When she was kind of chubby, but still smoking hot.
Yeah.
Like it's like he did that and then Three Musketeers and then the proposal. It's like this guy's going to break out and be a huge star. And he's doing like one of the NCIS nows.
But was it? Well, that's because he played Robin in Batman and Robin.
Yeah, I guess that ruined
that
him.
Killed him.
Yeah,
man. He was in George Clooney out of that.
Still not the worst Robin ever in a movie, or TV show, or version of Batman.
Who's the worst Robin?
Burt Ward.
What?
Burt Ward ruined Robin.
No, he didn't.
We've been over this before.
No.
He ruined it. Ruined.
Then
it.
Why are they bringing him back in Crisis?
I'd
it would have been awesome if they would have gotten like Chris O'Donnell or George Clooney or, you know, Michael
Keaton been really
or somebody.
Cool. Dude, if they got George Clooney to show, oh, that would be a good one.
They got Kevin Conroy, though, so I'm like, that's cool. Kevin Conroy is playing Bruce Wayne.
Like, oh.
He is literally playing an old man Bruce Wayne in Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Interesting.
Well, they have Brendan Routh playing Kingdom Come Superman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
so
I saw that.
Maybe
yeah.
that's what.
And Tom Welling?
They haven't
that's
confirmed
the rumor.
Or denied.
That's the rumor. So,
even though Tom Welling posts pictures, he's filming like on the other side of the world while they're filming Crisis, and I'm like, is this just like, you know, a hoodwink? Because I'm like, yeah, you know, it'd be cool if he shows up as Clark.
Yeah. So the other thing about the Three Musketeers is Paul McGann was the guy who was chasing, who was a doctor.
Doctor Who?
Doctor Nod.
Yeah.
With that horrible,
I think that's just weird
voice.
Because, like, you know, you see that in the cast, and you're like, "Was that him?"
Yeah,
I'm like, "Okay, sure."
Yeah, Gabrielle Anwar was in this
one.
You know, so Julie Delphi.
Yep,
it's good cast.
It was a strong cast.
So,
good and movie. Like you said, a cool theme song. Michael Kamen did the music.
Right,
he did the music for Robin Hood and this. It's like Disney was just like, "Hey, you did a pretty good soundtrack, and can you bring Bryan Adams with you?"
Yeah,
we've got these other two guys that'll sing with him.
One other movie we just left off.
What?
Cool Runnings was 93.
Yeah.
That was a hard one not to put on the list.
And yeah, I don't I'm kind of like, just throwing like it I in said, here at I, the end. I, but I was the No Mercy 5 on the list thing. Yeah. And
I love Cool Runnings.
I'm going to go with top 10. So.
What year did the Mighty Ducks come out?
94, 95. Want to say
92.
Was it 92?
Yeah, D2 was 94.
Oh, okay.
And D3 was 96.
I seen D2 before I seen Mighty Ducks.
So, whenever we do those years, just know those three movies are on the list.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, that's because, you know, you have that Josh Jackson crush thing going on there.
Pacey Witter.
Yeah. You know,
I told you if I ever meet him, only going to call him Charlie Conway.
Is he on that show, The Affair?
Yes. Okay. Well, I don't know if he still is.
Showtime show, right?
He was on the first season. That's all I've seen.
Yeah.
That's on like its seventh season or something like that.
It's Anna been Paquin's on for a long time. On the new season. What? It's the final season also.
Okay.
Yeah. But Anna Paquin's on there.
I will say, like, whenever it's free to watch on Hulu or whatever.
Was it on Hulu?
No. They'll do like the Showtime stuff. Sometimes it's free to watch. And usually they only do the first season. But one time they did the first and second season. And it was only for a weekend. So I was only able to watch like half of the second season.
Okay.
But I really like that show. What little bit of it I've been able to watch. All right. Next week, Mindhunter?
Sure.
Because this was a good season.
We're going to have a stack of files about the Atlanta child murderers.
Did you look into that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, you know.
How is that not a bigger? You know they reopened it?
Well, they reopened it because of everybody, like the showrunners, I'm pretty sure is why they reopened it.
So.
And that, but yeah, it's just a dark, dark story.
Yeah. All right. Well,
and I believe it because I've been to Atlanta multiple times and I'm like, yeah, okay. I can see where this is going.
Yeah. Too bad you didn't go to Dragon Con. You could have reported on that.
I miss it, but I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I went, there was three hotels, and now there's six.
Is it six? I thought it was more than that. So,
it streams over the whole city now. Whereas, like when I went, it was pretty much the block where the three host hotels were. Yeah. Until the last year we went, I think they added a fourth.
Okay.
Hotel.
So.
And that, but if I go, it's.
So just real quick, the schedule for this next month might be a little weird because I'm traveling a whole bunch.
Yeah.
So. There's that. We might have to record like a couple in one day.
Justin.
But, well.
A couple in one day.
I have to go. I'm probably going to Barcelona.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to Istanbul.
Okay.
Which is weird to say.
Constantinople.
Damn Turks. And then I have to go to Hawaii.
Okay.
For 3 days. I'm never going to get to leave the airport. It sucks.
Unless Godzilla shows up.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah.
I bet that would make
then
an awesome couple
waves. Then
you
can watch from the airport because that's what happens in the movie. But
anyway, all right, guys. On that note, we will be back for sure next week talking about Mindhunter.
Yes.
All right.
Later.
The FS Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @infamouspodcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny online at Johnny Podorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. Music in this episode was provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.